This show is brought to you by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Did the U.S. government really impose export controls on its own AI model?
On June 15th, more than 120 cybersecurity experts sent an open letter to the U.S. Commerce Department calling for them to reverse the export controls on Anthropic's latest model, Flobble 5. The trigger was a third-party research report, which included something called a jailbreak that was basically the prompt, fix this code, plus some manual steps. Being able to fix bugs is a core feature of a coding model. It's not a weapon.
Who signed that letter?
Katie Masouris, CEO of Ruta Security, led the effort. Current security executives like Alex Stamos, former Facebook's head of security, and Joe Levy, CEO of Sophos, signed on. Masouris actually read the research report directly and verified what they were calling a jailbreak before drafting the letter. Anthropic is pushing back by saying they get the same results from other public models like GPT 5.5.
What's the White House saying?
Over the weekend on June 14th and 15th, Anthropic co-founder Tom Brown and policy lead Sarah Hackett met with White House officials. But as of the 17th, there's still no timeline for lifting the controls. Developer Simon Willison blogged about how defenders need to be able to ask AI models to fix bugs and write patch tests. And the R Street Institute released a statement the same day, criticizing how the export controls are being applied.
So there are now more bots than humans on the internet?
That's Cloudflare CEO Matthew Prince's radar data. By HTTP request volume, bots are at 57.5% and humans at 42.5%. This is the first time we've seen this flip since Cloudflare started tracking it.
Why did bots suddenly jump like that?
AI assistants like ChatGPT and Gemini use agent bots that crawl the web and scrape information. As of May 2026, among verified bot traffic, AI crawlers are 20.3% and AI search bots are 6.5%. Add them together, and about 27% of verified bot traffic is AI-related. We're moving from an era where people opened a browser and visited websites to an era where machines visit on their behalf.
This show is brought to you by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
What tensions came up over AI at the G7?
The 52nd G7 summit in Evian, France, is wrapping up today on the 17th. AI was one of the major agendas alongside Ukraine and Iran, and the difference between the US and Europe positions was crystal clear. The U.S. opposed multilateral AI regulation that could undercut its competitive advantage, while the EU pushed technology sovereignty. There's been speculation since before the summit that the AI governance language in the final communique will be watered down because of U.S. opposition.
Were Macron-invited AI company leaders right?
He brought in Sam Altman from OpenAI, Dario Amodi from Anthropic, and Demis Hassabis from Google DeepMind, all at the same table. Seating three AI CEOs simultaneously at a summit was France's way of sending the message that it's positioning itself as Europe's AI hub. South Korea was also invited. This summit formalized the dynamic where the US and Europe are in a tug of war over the blueprint for AI regulation.
So Google's AI summaries are now legally liable?
The Munich Regional Court in Germany issued a preliminary injunction. Google's AI overview linked two Munich publishers' names to fraud, subscription scams, and shady business practices. That was the problem. The court found that AI overviews are different from traditional search results. Search results show source sites as they are, but AI overviews have Google authoring the sentences directly.
Doesn't this affect other AI services too?
A precedent just came down in Germany. The company operating a generative AI is directly responsible for false content it produces. It's not just Google's problem. The same logic could apply to any company running an AI answer engine. For Korean companies, the moment their name gets linked to the wrong context in an AI overview or search summary, you're looking at legal defense costs. Marketing and legal teams now have a reason to periodically check how their company shows up in AI search results.
SpaceX options were really that hot?
SpaceX options trading began on Cboe on June 16th. 500,000 contracts came through in the first hour, and by 10:35 a.m., it had crossed 600,000. That's the highest first-day volume for any IPO options launch ever. The stock opened at the IPO price of $135 and ran up to $201.80 intraday.
What's the market cap sitting at?
On a closing basis, we're looking at around $2.7 trillion. That's in the ballpark of Amazon's market cap. The leveraged ETFs SPCH and SSPC also listed the same day with combined first-day volume of $500 million. Short seller Jim Chanos warned that stocks trading at 100 times revenue rarely translate to long-term returns. The market's teetering between IPO euphoria and sober valuation. The next few weeks will tell you which way it goes. This show is brought to you by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
So Chrome automatically browses websites now?
Google embedded Gemini 3.5 Flash into Chrome. It's called Auto Browse. When you're making reservations or checking inventory, it automatically navigates multiple pages and handles it for you. It rolls out starting late June on U.S. Android, with Samsung Galaxy S26 and Pixel 10 as the first phones.
Not every phone can do this, though.
You need Android 12 or higher and at least 4 gigabytes of RAM, and you've got to have a Google AI Pro or Ultra subscription. They're planning to expand to 200 million devices by the end of 2026. But when you look at that Cloudflare data we saw earlier, the pattern clicks into place. The shift from human clicks to AI agent browsing is accelerating.
So they're now rolling out to everyone what they banned 3 years ago?
Back in 2023, Samsung blocked ChatGPT access because of the risk of internal source code leaking to external servers. 3 years later, on-premise AI agents became feasible, and all three conglomerates, Samsung, SK, and LG, are rolling them out company-wide starting in June. They've put together mandatory training and a data governance framework integrating with Windows and Microsoft 365.
What's China doing?
Tencent quietly put DeepSeek AI into WeChat as a trial. Baidu is connecting both its own ERNIE model and DeepSeek to its search engine at the same time. ByteDance's Douyin has weekly active users of 155.2 million, making it China's number one AI app. Just as South Korean enterprises are rolling out internal AI, China's already embedded AI as a standard feature in consumer apps. That speed difference is worth paying attention to.
What from today's news do we need to keep an eye on right now?
Three things. One, whether an announcement comes on lifting the Fable 5 export controls. With over 120 security experts signing that open letter, the Commerce Department's got to respond. Two, the tone of the AI governance language in the G7 communique. How much the U.S. trimmed it down will set the direction for international AI regulation going forward.
What's the third one?
The fallout from that Munich court ruling. I'd encourage marketing or legal teams to search for your company name on Google and see what context your company appears in on AI overviews. One wrong AI summary can snowball into a lawsuit, and your company foots the legal bill. Tomorrow, Geneva hosts the UN Institute for Disarmament Research's AI Security and Ethics Conference. If you're interested in military AI governance, online attendance is open. Worth tuning in for.
This show is brought to you by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.